I want to read just my text of Scripture. We announced this morning that we wanted to preach on the subject, boasting in the cross of Christ. And you perhaps have guessed the verse that I want to draw your attention to. It's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians 6 and 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And just that opening half of the text, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is known as the great apostle. And certainly when you think of his background, his upbringing, his intellect, his achievements under God, there's no doubt that he stands head and shoulders above all the others that we read about in the New Testament Scriptures. And he has rightly achieved the title of being called the great apostle. He was the greatest preacher, writer, theologian, leader, missionary, and Christian of his day. And as such, there were many things that he could have boasted in. He could have boasted in his education. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. No doubt he was just a young man when he went to Jerusalem, was sent there to be educated in the school of Gamaliel. It was a very famous school, and Gamaliel himself, he was a very renowned rabbi of his day. The school was noted for giving its students a balanced education. So Paul was likely exposed to classical literature, philosophy, and ethics, and he went on to graduate in the highest academics possible. He was a bred scholar. So Paul could have boasted, he could have gloried in his academic achievements, but he didn't do that. He could have boasted in his religion. Paul was a pedigree through and through. When it came to the Jewish religion, he describes his credentials when he wrote to the church at Philippi, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You have to admit that these are pretty high qualifications, religiously speaking. He prefaced those remarks by saying, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. But he concluded and declared, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He could have boasted in his education, but he didn't do that. He could have boasted in his conversion. No one ever had a conversion experience like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. We think of the bright light that shone in the sky that brought him to his knees. We think of the dazzling splendor of Christ in all his glory above the brightness of that light that appeared to him. We think of the voice of the Savior that spoke directly to this man on the road to Damascus. We think of the blindness that he had for 3 days, and then when Ananias came, sent by the Lord to speak to him, how that he was wonderfully filled with the Holy Ghost and went out there to preach the gospel. But he didn't boast in his conversion experience, even though it was unique in so many ways. He could have boasted in his vocation. He was a chosen vessel. He was set aside for the ministry of the word, to preach the gospel message to high and low. He had a very special call to missionary service, traveling on 3 major missionary journeys. And if you want to include the last journey that he made to Rome, you could say that he went on 4 missionary journeys. He saw thousands of people saved from different backgrounds, religiously and heathen alike. Some of the greatest trophies of grace owe their conversion to the preaching and the ministry of the Apostle Paul, like the Philippian jailer. Dozens of churches were founded by the Apostle, and he left behind an amazing testimony for Christ and his Savior. Traveled all across from Israel, right across the Mediterranean area, coming as far as Spain, we believe, and very possibly coming right into the United Kingdom. Some believe that he came as far as Britain in the preaching of the cross. And so he could have gloried in the vocation that God called him to, but he didn't. He could have gloried in his revelation. The Lord gave him wonderful experiences, gave him special revelations of himself, appeared to him on several occasions. We think of his conversion. We think of other times in his life when the Lord came and appeared to him for his encouragement. I think of that time on his second missionary journey when, in a time of discouragement, the Lord appeared to Paul in a night vision. We read about it in Acts chapter 18. There was one time that he was called up or caught up into the third heaven, and he heard, as he described it, unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And such was the overwhelming experience that he had on that occasion, he didn't speak about it for 12 years. And even when he did, it was with limited information. He could have boasted in such a unique revelation, but he did not. He said, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool." Paul could have boasted in his inspiration. You know, the Lord used him to write over half of the New Testament, 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament Scripture being ascribed to him. God moved his hand to write down the words of God. What a mighty blessing it was to be used in such a way. And we have these words today, preserved, divinely preserved, so that we could read them, 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. But he didn't boast in his inspiration. He could have boasted in his affliction. Think of how he suffered. Think of all that he endured for the sake of the gospel from that time when he was saved and began to preach Christ. You remember how the Jews took counsel to kill him? Remember how he escaped from Damascus, lowered in a basket over the wall? He could have said, well, look at me. Look at what I have suffered for Christ. No one has ever had to face so much as a Christian as I have had to face. And he wrote to the Corinthians, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness." We come nowhere near the sufferings of the Apostle Paul. We couldn't even boast in a tenth of what he endured for the gospel. And we know what history tells us about his latter end, and Paul had an inclination of how he was going to die in such a violent way. But Paul did not boast in his affliction, in his sufferings. These are the areas where he might have been tempted to boast. He could have gloried in any of these things, but he chose to make all his boast in the cross of Christ. Other things we know he counted as dung in comparison. And we ought to be like him. There are many things perhaps that you could boast in. God has given to you so much. He's blessed you with honor, with position. He has endowed you with gifts and abilities, and perhaps you could even call them to mind right now, and you might be tempted to glory in these things. I haven't many things to boast in. I come nowhere near Paul in his attainments and gifts. I'm so insignificant in comparison. But I thank God for the blessings and the privileges that He has given to me. I thank God for the upbringing that I had in a Christian home. I thank God for the education that He gave to me, for the gospel preaching country into which I was born, for the Free Presbyterian Church itself, this denomination that has been separated unto Christ in the day of great apostasy. Thank God for the Whitfield College of the Bible and all that it does by way of training our young people. And I thank God for my home, my family, for the friends that we have, for the Hebron Church, for this congregation, the privilege to serve God in Ballymoney, and also the privilege to serve the Lord and the missionary bodies of our church. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, I'm nothing. Without the cross, I'm doomed and I'm damned. I'm a lost sinner, perishing soul. I'm only a sinner tonight, saved by grace. And my testimony is summed up in the words of that hymn written over 100 years ago. Not have I gotten, but what I've received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded. Pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. And I am saved by virtue of Christ on the cross. All that He accomplished, an eternal redemption for me. Saved from death and destruction, my feet placed upon the narrow road that leads to heaven. So God forbid that I should glory save on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to do that just for a few minutes tonight in this service. I want to boast in the cross. I want to glory in the finished work of my Redeemer. I want to lead this congregation to Calvary, where we shall sit just for a little few moments, beholding the Lamb of God as He is crucified there for our sins. It was recorded of the Roman soldiers when they had done all that they had to do by way of carrying out the execution of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they sat down in the shadow of the cross, and sitting down, they watched Him there. And really, that's what I want you and I to do tonight, just to sit for a few minutes in the shadow of the cross of Christ. And as we look at Him, crucified, dying, suffering, pouring out His life's blood, and see why Paul should make such a spectacle of shame and woe his boast. I want you to also contemplate why we should make the cross our boast also. The sentence has been passed. All that was ordained for Christ in Pilate's judgment hall has taken place. The verdict that Christ should die has been given. The Jews' request has been granted to them, for they cried out, "Let Him be crucified." And the Lord Jesus Christ is led through the crowded streets of Jerusalem to the brow of that place called Golgotha, or Calvary. And there between two thieves, He is crucified. And crucified for crimes that He had not committed. And He suffers for sins that were not His own. It was a cruel, brutal, inhumane, and barbarous form of death. To be crucified, to be spiked to the cross, to die slowly in agony of body. We can barely imagine the suffering and the anguish that He went through. As we gaze upon such a deplorable sight, how is it possible to glory, to boast in what we see? And that's what I want to tell you just in the closing minutes of this service tonight. And I know that there are dozens of things that I could bring to your attention, but there's just three things that I want to boast in as I think of the cross, as I think of our text tonight, that I trust will be an encouragement to you as a believer, and also a challenge to you if you're not a believer, if you don't know Christ tonight. That this message on the cross will lead you to saving faith in Him. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to boast, I want to glory in the cross tonight, first of all, because my sin was dealt with, and so dealt with eternally. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. If you don't know it by now, let me tell you tonight, it's my favorite hymn, and that's my favorite verse in all the hymnology of today. And I never get tired of quoting that verse. I never get tired of singing that verse. I never get tired of bringing it before any congregation and proclaiming its glorious message. Because that's exactly what happened at the cross of Calvary. My sin was nailed to His cross, and therefore I bear it no more. And that is the heart of the gospel. That is the great eternal purpose of God in Jesus Christ. That is the central message of the Bible. We might think about those grand expressions that mean so much to us as Christians. As we think of our sin being dealt with, we think of the word substitution, the Lord Jesus Christ taking our place. We think of the word satisfaction, how the justice of God was satisfied as far as our debt and our sin was concerned. We think of the word reconciliation. We are reconciled to a God who at one time we were at enmity with because of our sin. We think of the word redemption, the paying of the price of our sin. It's all there as we stand and we think of the cross. Something of the most splendid nature is happening right now at the cross that we can't fully explain or understand, but we believe it with all of our hearts. Our sins were laid upon Him. Our sins, in all their enormity, diversity, and quantity, were transferred to Jesus Christ. And so transferred to Him in such a way that those sins became His sins. Isn't that a marvelous truth? He became the punishment for all the sins that I committed and you as a believer committed. And such is the language of the Bible. He was smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was made a curse for us. He suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. My sin is now accounted to Christ. It is laid to His account, to His charge. And Jesus Christ carried them away there upon the cross of Calvary. And we say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And to quote the remainder of our text in this church, "which taketh away the sin of the world." If you're not saved tonight, you're still in your sin. You are condemned already. You are abiding under the wrath of a holy God. And your sins are crying out tonight for the judgment of God. And they march past you, every one of them. And as they do so, they're crying out, "Guilty, guilty, guilty." Think of your life, the years that God has given to you. Think of your sins, sins committed every day, every hour of every day, sins that you painfully remember, and sins that you have forgotten about altogether, sins great and small. They're all crying out, "Guilty," and they will do so on the judgment day when you stand before Almighty God. Your sins will condemn you. But my sins, as a believer, were nailed to His cross, and I bear them no more. My sins march past me, and I am declared innocent. Why? Because Jesus bore them all. My sins march past Christ, and they point to Christ, and they say, guilty, as if he had committed my sins. This is the wonder of divine grace, how my sins became his. They were transferred to him. They were laid upon him. He took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. No wonder I boast on the cross tonight, and I make it all my boast. May I stay close to Calvary and abide under its shadow. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it was there my sins were dealt with, and that forever. The second little thought that I want to leave with you tonight as I boast in the cross is simply this: the gates of hell are closed to me. I want to just address the people of God in this service just for a moment or two. Do you ever think about the punishment we deserved? You ever think what should have been our portion for all eternity because of our sin? Many of us have been saved for years, and it's so easy to become contented in the blessings of redemption. We stand forgiven by God. What a wonderful thought. We have peace with God. We have joy in believing. We have confidence tonight in Christ. We know that we shall never face the wrath of a holy God because Jesus Christ has paid the ransom on our behalf. But what about our just deserts? Never forget what we have been delivered from. The condemnation of God that was upon us, for we were condemned. That condemnation was damnation in hell forever. My sin demanded that I would be cast into eternal fire for all of God's eternity. And I still tremble at the thought of the destiny to which I should have gone. Christ, or God, has decreed in his word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And that's not just physical death, it's eternal death in hell forever. Christ warned sinners to flee from the wrath of God to come. Need I remind you that he who was love incarnate, he warned the people of his time and preached on the subject of hell more than he preached on the subject of heaven. What a faithful Savior he was. He spoke about our darkness. He spoke of weeping and gnashing of teeth, of everlasting punishment, of hell fire, a furnace of fire, everlasting fire. He spoke of a place of flame where the rich man in Luke 16 lifted his eyes in torments and cried out in the very depths of his soul, I am tormented in this flame. That was what I deserved. I should have died in my sins. I should have heard the words falling from the lips of the Savior, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because that's what I deserved. But Jesus stood in my place. And there at the cross, he bore the wrath of God against sin. All that I deserved for eternity fell upon him when he became sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And for this reason tonight, I glory in the cross. Nothing else could close the gates of a lost eternity but the cross. Now that my sins are dealt with in Christ, I will never be in hell. It is impossible for a true believer to be lost. There is no such thing as that perverted doctrine that says you can be saved and then you can be lost. Jesus says, I give unto them, referring to his sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We believe tonight in eternal security. If a person is genuinely saved, listen, they'll never, 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 never be in hell. And never means never. And I glory in the cross tonight because the gates of hell are closed to me. The third little point, and with this I will close, is simply this. The door of heaven is opened to me. When Adam sinned, he was cast out of Eden, the paradise of God. Paradise was shut to him. We're told that God placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And that's how it has been ever since. The door to paradise has been closed because of sin. Heaven's door is bolted against the sinner. Revelation 21, verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. That's how it was for us. Heaven was closed. The door was bolted. But Jesus Christ, by virtue of his death upon the cross of Calvary, has opened the door. And he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And there was a day that I entered in. How did I enter in? I entered in through Christ, the open door. How did that door become open to me? It is the way that is marked out by the blood of redemption, the cross of Jesus Christ. Having described his Father's house and the place of the many mansions, Jesus says, I'm the way. And he alone is the way. He unlocked the gates of heaven by his death on Calvary's tree. So God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven tonight not because of anything that I have done or could ever do. Simply, there was nothing that I could do to merit heaven. I'm going to heaven tonight because of what Jesus Christ did for me at the cross of Calvary. I'm going there through the blood of the cross. And one day it will be sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Dear sinner, that door is closed to you because of sin. And one day it's going to be closed forever. And your destiny will be sealed. You read the story of the 10 virgins that the Lord Jesus Christ related in Matthew 25. 5 wise and 5 foolish. And how the bridegroom came, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and that's what the chapter is about, that's what the story is about. And the wise who had made preparation entered in. And the Bible says the door was shut. And you see the word that is used there in the Greek language for shut, it means that the door was bolted, locked so that it cannot be opened again. My dear friends, there's coming that day when forever and ever that door will be closed upon the sinner. What an awful day that's going to be. We sing a lovely children's hymn, There is a City Bright. Closed are its gates to sin. Not that defileth shall ever enter in. And that is true. My friend, in your defilement, in your sin, you cannot enter in. Closed are those gates. But the hymn writer went on to pen another wonderful verse. And we thank God for these verses that she wrote because they are based upon the scripture. And it's a prayer. Savior, I come to thee. O Lamb of God, I pray, cleanse me and save me. Cleanse me and save me. Wash all my sins away. You need to get to the cross tonight. because it is the way of the cross that still leads home. I rejoice in Jesus Christ, my Savior. I glory in the cross tonight. And among the reasons that I do so is because there at Calvary, my sins were dealt with and dealt with forever. There at Calvary, the gates of hell were shut to me. And there at Calvary, the door of heaven was opened to me. What about you tonight? Have you been to the cross? Can you glory like the Apostle Paul and every believer in this service tonight? Because Jesus Christ, in what he did there, has accomplished redemption and salvation and so much for you. If not, I implore you, get to the cross tonight. Pray in the words of that verse of the hymn, Savior, I come to thee, O Lamb of God, I pray, cleanse me and save me, wash all my sins away. And in your heart tonight, if you really mean it, the Lord will hear your prayer and he will save you and he will wash away your sins. And praise God, the gates of hell will be closed and the door of heaven will be open to you. And you will be able to boast in the cross of Christ. Let us bow together in prayer. Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that thou will take the simplicity of your word, this line of scripture written by Paul by inspiration all these centuries ago, when he thought about Calvary, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the many things that he could have gloried in, but he did not. His boast was in Christ and what he did. And Lord, we make that our boast tonight. We thank thee from the depths of our heart for all that Jesus Christ passed through when he hung there at Calvary. We thank thee that by virtue of his great work of redemption, our sins are dealt with and dealt with forever. We thank thee that the gates of hell have been closed and closed forever for the believer. And we praise thee tonight that the door of heaven has been opened, and one day we shall enter in. Very conscious, Lord, tonight that there are those in this service and they're not saved, and they cannot boast the way that Paul can and the way that we can in the cross, because they don't know the saving work of Christ. Lord, we pray as this service ends that thou wilt speak on, that thou wilt trouble the heart and the conscience. This work is thine. Lord, we can't do anything. We can't, as we've often said, create even the anxious thought. But Lord, thou art the troubler of souls. And we pray that thou will bring conviction now to the hearts of sinners and open their eyes to see their need. Help them, Lord, to feel their sin and their guilt. Help them, Lord, to see that there's only one way that sin can be dealt with. Only one way that they can be saved from sin and from hell and enter heaven, and that is through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. May they come and seek the Savior. Lord, we pray this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.